This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You have now an agreement between the league and the NFLPA to start training camps, which you hope will be on time. They go through all of the testing protocols and everything that is now going to be in place. Like, all the other leagues had to do this as well, right? Yeah. The NFL sort of was the first time we talked about this. You and I did last week. It was the first time that the NFL's really felt the effects now of the coronavirus, whereas other leagues had all their protocols, had everything set up, everything they needed to do. NFL didn't, because they didn't really have to worry about it. And it felt like they were just acting like, we're just going to go on and do what we do. And players said, no, we've got to know how much testing, when, where, how, what are we doing? And one of the things that really stands out to me is the fact that what you have right now is an offer from the league to play no preseason games. And that is Adam Schefter reporting that.
That's a lot.
I know the players' side have actually been pushing that. They don't want to play any preseason games at all. None.
It's a mistake.
I know you said that before, and that's why the union hasn't accepted it yet, but you would think they absolutely would accept it because that's what they wanted originally. But as a Jets fan, I would think as a Giants fan, I hate this idea.
Yeah, the players are looking for the easy way out. It's still kind of how the same argument they had when we had the CBA, where when the league was fighting for more of the revenue share, the players were fighting for quality of life. It's dumb to give up something to get something, and what you want to give up is preseason. Because guess what? What you're saying to those undrafted free agents? What are you saying to those seventh round guys? What are you saying to the players that were trying to hope that they can prove something in the preseason against a different team so that they can prove that they're ready to take the next step in their maturation? What are you saying to guys like Chris Herndon that you expect a lot from that's not going to get live reps? What you're going to have is teams that are veteran teams that have been together, teams that have been in the same systems are going to have an added advantage because you're not going to have any dress rehearsals, and you're going to have a ton of soft tissue injuries. You talk about the quality of football early in the season. We were talking about the quality of football when we had four preseason games. What is the quality of football going to be when essentially the first time you're going 100%? 100%, because you can say whatever you want.
Exactly.
When you're scrimmaging against your teammates, you're trying to protect them at the same time. You're not taking certain shots. You're not running full speed because you're trying to gear down where make sure you don't hit them in the side of the head, give them a concussion, all that type of stuff. Now the first time you're going to do it is going to be against a team in which you don't even know where your teammates are going to be. Practice will have to be full speed because I need to go full speed and be full speed in a game, and I need to be going against a team, an opponent that I don't know, so that I can know where my teammate's going to be and where I need him to fit on a certain type of play. On an outside run, I need to know, bam, I need to know how you're going to set that edge. I need to learn your non-verbal communication about what your body looks like when you're about to do something. Because sometimes I can't hear you, and I'm going to have to interpret your body language based on how you're running. Oh, man, he's going to go outside. Oh, Bart's about to set the edge. Or Bart's about to spill this. So I know, okay, let me get ready to get over the top. Oh, man, he's about to squeeze this because he got up the field too far. So, man, let me understand he's about to squeeze, so I got to stay inside out. Those are all things that are part of the process. And every year, I don't care how long you've been with a team, how long your teammates have been the same, you still have to get that new interpretation of what he is this year. Because every year you change, evolve, or do things slightly different as a team. So and as a teammate. So I need to learn that nonverbal communication. How am I going to get that going against a controlled environment when you say, okay, where Adam Gase comes up and say, okay, we're going to go over third downs. So as a defender, I'm cheating it. If I'm a young guy trying to make myself look good for the team, first of all, let me tell you something. Some players are stupid, right? And they go their whole career, and they don't even realize that the plays that you get in the walkthrough are pretty much in the same order the plays you're going to get during the game and during practice.
Script.
So
right. What
the really smart guys do is they learn the script and they jump certain plays because they remember the formations. They remember the down and distances. So then they look like heroes. Now take that same player that you got extreme confidence in. You're like, man, this dude's balling, doing his thing. You put him in a game against Julio Jones, or you put him in a game, you know, against Tom Brady, and then he has no clue what's coming. And then you're like, dog, man, what's wrong with you? Like, come on, man. Everybody's in self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Self-preservation.
Well done.
They're in self-preservation. But if I'm a young guy, how the hell am I even going to get opportunity? You might as well tell the undrafted free agents. You might as well tell the late-round draft picks, thank you for coming out, but we'll see you again next year.
True.
That's bull crap. Like, how am I going to get opportunity to show you that I can ball out? How am I going to get opportunity to go against another team's ones or twos if in the game or in practice, only time you see me is, like, for one or two snaps because you got to put so much effort into getting the ones and twos ready. How can I make that jump? Right? If you're James Harris, if you're Bart Scott, if you're Tony Romo, if you're all these other great players that were undrafted or good players, Wes Welker, how do you even get the opportunity to show your growth? Let alone if you're a guy that's a free agent that came over from somewhere else, how are you going to get those real reps? Because what happens is you start learning the mannerisms, right? When you go against your teammates, you know what those guys do. You know how the opponent, you know how your offensive coordinator uses them. So when he comes in, you have your antenna up for certain plays. But what you don't know is like those I remember one year, man, we played against Victor Cruz in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
This dude went for 300 yards. We had never heard of this dude. And he was just filling in for the ones. He had on number three. We're like, who the hell is this dude? He wasn't even on the scouting report. But because of that, that's what his breakout year. They gave him a new number. They gave him a new opportunity. But that's because he went against the ones for the Jets, and we had no idea. And I think we put Kyle Wilson out there. He was getting that work.
Oh, Kyle Wilson.
But you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How do you get those opportunities? So you're already going to, you know, between a rock and a hard place because you're playing in the midst of a global pandemic. You already know that you're not going to have the opportunities because you're not going to have preseason. So what do I do as a player that's trying to prove myself when I'm not going to have opportunities to prove myself? And then you add on top of that, guys don't get hurt because the first time they're going to be going full speed is going to be week one. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, hey, Bart, they do this in college. But guess what? When you're in college, you don't know no better. When you're in college, you bounce back. When you're in college, hell, when I was in college, I didn't even stretch. I would pull up to the game with a Happy Meal. Like, what's up? Time to play? All right, let's go.
Zero to 100. Meal. But why do players want this?
Because
no
they're
fan
lazy.
Wants this.
Because they're
why
lazy.
Would play, but you just explained why it's a bad thing.
Players
if
are
I'm
dumb.
A, no player, player thinks that way. No player says, you know, I'm going to need at least one game to get myself right. Like, I need to get some game speed. Like, are you crazy to not want to play
because you know
some form of a game that doesn't count?
Because
everybody's doing – the NHL's playing a couple of scrimmages. The NBA is going to have some scrimmages. Starts tomorrow. Baseball was playing scrimmages all the weekend.
But you want to know why? Because you always have guys that don't play in the preseason anyway. But you also have the guys that are afraid to get hurt. They don't want to be that guy, that superstar. Every year we have him, right? It's that superstar that's going to miss the season. Either he got hurt or blew something out when he was training in the offseason, or he hurt himself at OTAs. And then you always have a group of people that hurt themselves, you know, in training camp.
Right.
But now you can add that list now to guys that are going to hurt themselves and blow something out the first week or second week of the season. Because now you're going from really practicing at 80, 95% to going 100% against something where you have no idea where that person's going and you're reacting. That's why nobody ever gets hurt a lot of times training, because when you're working out with your trainer, he's telling you you're going straight. He's telling you which direction that you're going. So you're prepared.
Right. Right.
When you're going against an opponent, you're reacting. You have no clue what's going on. You're reacting. When you react, it's unpredictable. So you may be going one way and you have to cut and go another way because just that's how the play happened. So I think the NFL and the NFLPA are doing themselves a disservice because they're saying, hey, we're going to just go straight to the season, go straight to collecting checks. We have a likelihood that nobody gets hurt in training camp. Football is 100% injury. Guaranteed. Nobody's healthy in football. It's the difference between being hurt and injured. So everybody's going to be hurt. You're trying not to get injured, but these guys don't understand. You have to build up that scar tissue to be able to push yourself to those parts. It's like Nolan Ryan, right? Nolan Ryan back in the day used to throw all those innings, right? And now you see guys can't go past the fifth. right? Because you have to continue to condition yourself, condition your body to be able to go to a certain point.
Yeah, you train these differently. Guys,
right.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're training differently. You're preparing differently. There's no question that it's a much different game. But that's only – it's not because the players don't want to go past the fifth inning. That's what they're told now. This is what you're going to do. This is our game plan. And so right. Now these athletes are conditioned to do it.
So when you have to go seven innings, what happens, Alan? You blow something because your body's never been at that point.
You break
down. See how I was trained and how we came up. We took ourselves to places that we would never ask our body to go. So when we needed it to go that time, when we needed to go that far one time, it was capable because you have the muscle memory. It's like if you always train to run two laps, and then today they say, man, we need you to run four. Your body gonna be like, I don't know what to do, and it's gonna fail you. But if you go in six laps and all is required of you is to go four laps is gonna be easy peasy. Mm-hmm. So now today's athletes do just enough to do enough. They don't prepare themselves for war, for worst case scenario. I remember one time a coach came to me and I was like, you know, I was like, man, today film study. Damn, he gonna cuss my ass out because I missed that tackle. This dude saw me in the hallway and he apologized to me. He was like, sorry, Bart. I'm like, what? What'd you apologize to me for? He's like, you don't know? I'm like, no, I don't know. He said, you realize you played 102 snaps? He's like, I've never seen anybody play 102 snaps in a game. I mean, 120 snaps. Yeah, you played 120 snaps. Because what happened is I was on special teams, and what happened is the person in front of me got hurt.
Right.
It was against Houston. So I had to play all the special teams and all the snaps. So I played like 96 snaps or something, and then special teams. And he apologized to me. But you know what? I was so used to going 100% and doing so much extra that when I was called to do it, I was capable of doing it that I didn't even know I was doing it. It's like those boxers back in the day, Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray, Duran, Alexis Arguello, Aaron Pryor, Muhammad Ali. They went 15 rounds, man. So if you're going 15 rounds, how many rounds you got to train for? You got to train 18, man. Because you never know if those 15 going to be hard 15 or soft 15. So now you got these NFL softies that they want everything easy. Guess what? Football's not easy. Quit trying to find the easy way out and trying to have a quality of life, build up some scar tissue, some character, and start pushing yourself. I came up through college where we had three-a-days, man. Three-a-days. We had 30 practices in 10 days.
And by the way, just so you know, why do you no longer have three or even two-a-days? Why do you no longer have that stuff?
Because
who wanted that? Who wanted to take that stuff away? The coaches? No.
No, the dumb players.
The players.
And listen, okay, you understand you don't want to take 30 practices, right? But what did you have to give up? You gave up about 10% of your split. Because it used to be 50-50, now I think it's like 60-40. So you gave up that just so you didn't have to work harder. You look like a dummy. You gave up real-life money for exercise. How about this? You could have got to those practices and say, Coach, my hamstring hurt, and they would have held you out. But instead, you wanted to get out of those. And then usually what happens is, like the third practice or the second practice, you don't even have back-to-back anymore. You can't have two-a-days no more in camp. So, like, now that you don't even have that, now they taking more from you. Now you're losing money when all you had to do is say, okay, the second practice, coach, the ones are kind of tired, so you need to extend the twos and threes.
I just don't understand that. Like you're explaining it, and you're explaining it perfectly, exactly what happened. But like this, I don't think a lot of fans really notice this stuff or talk about it. But it it's always like the extremes, mm-hmm. right? The extremes are this. It used to be coaches were like over the top with these with two-a-days, would work you too hard. It was
yep.
They knew they had you.
Junction
I mean,
boys.
The whole idea, I believe you were saying this yesterday about how coaches would like, it's almost like daycare. They want you in the facility so you can't get in trouble, right? You were talking about this yesterday on the K-Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's exactly that. It's the point is that when you're a coach, I want him on the court. I want him on the field. I'm going to work him and work him and work
times. Him. Make him so tired that he don't want to do nothing when he leave here.
Exactly. But it's also that I control the players I control. And so it was too far. You were pushing them too far.
Yep.
But now it's gone completely the other way where
it's powder
development puff. Development has been cast aside. That it's now left up to the player if he wants to be great and he wants to get better.
Yep.
And then you're asking a guy in his early 20s, you know, like if he has, and you, like, you, it's like anyone. if you have a choice to really, really work hard or work half as hard, still get paid the same amount of money, which one are you doing?
Right. Exactly.
The players have taken away the ability to make the game better and to make themselves better.
That's
maddening. And to take away a preseason, to take that away. And by the way, no one has brought up that it has to do with the virus. No one.
Yep.
Like, that's the part that drives me nuts. And on the virus stuff, again, 800-919-3776, we'll get everything figured out and we'll get the calls going in the next segment, I promise, because we do have people that want to sound off on this.
What's the question of the day? Is NFL players too soft? Are they giving up too much and not?
Well, I just think it's a simple question. You know, do you think there should be at least one preseason game this season, or are you fine with there not being any preseason games at all? I want to find one Jet or Giant fan who says I'm fine without having a preseason game, because if you believe that, you're out of your mind.
When you have 25, when you have 30 procedural penalties week one,
Then
penalties to flag everywhere. Yeah,
yeah, and you don't give me that first crap. Five games. Don't tell. Then don't complain about it. But it's anyways. But you have right now with testing that is going on. When you have the testing that is going on, right? You have the bubbles working in Orlando so far. Okay, as the NBA and the union announced, zero positive tests.
Long Zion don't come back.
Out of 346 players that were tested since July 13th. Zero. That's incredible. The whole idea is, now that you know, the virus is now official. It's not in the bubble. Good. Don't be the guy that pops the bubble. Don't be that guy.
Now, I know Zion had an issue with the family. He had to leave. But you don't think he's taking advantage and loading up on that extra sauce he need?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out. But, of course, they're going to make him quarantine before he comes back in to make sure that he's clear. That's important. The NHL, I believe it's 2 out of, like, 800.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing percentage. So that's gone well. Baseball so far, but they aren't traveling yet. Baseball so far, so good. So those are all positive things. And now for football, the plan is, if the positive test rate after 2 weeks is below 5% for a team, the league can scale back the testing to every other day. But right now, over the first 2 weeks of training camp, it will be every day. And I mean, look, the testing part is not that big of a deal. But the point is preseason. It is important. And especially if you're a Jets or Giants fan, you know it's very important. Now, of course, the question is will the union agree to it? And you know they want it, so they probably will. How big of an impact is that going to have now on both of the local teams? Yeah, Bart's back. He came running back, too. But Greca broke you. I feel terrible. Like, you were in a bad mood on IG. Yeah. You were eating, like, healthy food, which also puts you in a bad mood.
Yeah.
You start fighting about, like, you were getting into a heated debate about Miguel Andujar, which is, like, random, just completely out of nowhere.
They'd be disrespecting him, man.
You're the happy guy on the show. I'm the guy that like gets all mad and emo. You're the one that is always happy, optimistic.
I get mad about Miguel Andujar because I'm tired of people always talking about him like he a trade chip. And when they move around, they don't recognize his greatness or his potential greatness. And, you know, I think he can be one of the great Yankees of all times. If you just continue to develop him and grow him and groom him, he's only 25 years old. You think about what he did as a starter. To me, his first season, to me, was better than Miguel Andujar's. I mean, it was better than Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres. But all of a sudden, Gleyber gets crowned as like he's the next face. And people sleeping on the fact of what Andujar has been able to produce. Now he's got to fight it out with Urshela, who had a career year. You know, but we don't know if that's real. We don't know if it's going to turn 12 o'clock on him. He's going to turn back to a pumpkin.
Which is why you keep Andujar around and see how Urshela looks in this year. And if there's any issues, look, Andujar's biggest problem is that he was throwing it into the dugout. He wasn't throwing it to first base.
But he would boot
the ball. Like he had issues third positionally, and that is a problem. Look at the Mets.
But let me tell you something. When people already have a predisposed notion of what they believe you are, and they already put that scarlet letter on you, whenever you do something that reinforces what they already believe about you, it's magnified. I mean, I watched Glaber over try and make too many plays and miss the ball, you know, and have some errant throws, but also miss some routine plays because he was trying to hurry up and force the double play instead of taking what they have. That's part of being a young player. But what happens is he gets crowned like, oh, Glaber, he's going to be okay. But then Andujar's like, oh, geez, he's a hack at third base. Hell, he just got there. Let him like it is a such thing as teaching. It is a such thing as developing. It is a such thing as coaching. But you have one player, two players, I think, as equally as talented, and then one gets treated one way, like he's the stepchild, and the other one gets treated like he's the pride of joy. And I just don't like how that rolls. I don't rock with that. You know what I mean? Right. Because I feel like one man's trash can be another man's treasure. And then, you know, if you let him go, you're going to regret it.
All right, we can get back into this conversation a little bit later on, but let's get some calls here on the initial conversation of the show, 800-919-3776. Polls up on @BartonHahn on Twitter, and it's just very simple. It's very simply put, should the NFL have at least one preseason game, as the report from Schefter is, that the league has actually offered to the players to not have a preseason at all. And I feel like if you're a Jets or a Giants fan, that would be that's just the last thing you want to hear about. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island to start us off. Ira?
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. How are you? You know, good. The preseason game, I get it. Be honest with you, I think they're cramped right now. You see what it is. They're going to get 3 weeks of strength and conditioning, 10 paid of practice, 10 unpaid of practices. To throw in a preseason game, listen, you know, Bart, you played the game. I'm a firm believer they could do without it. I really do. If you want to take a look at some of these younger kids, you could maybe come up with a different scenario. But just going forward, you know, take a guy like Burrow, you know, going to Cincinnati. Take a guy like Becton that you're going to plug in at left tackle. There's going to be certain defensive interior linemen. There's going to be kids coming out of college that got picked. And you're not going to really you're not going to be able to grade this guy out right after the first year because of the unlimited amount of time that they're going to get to be on the field with their teammates and get ready for the NFL, which is a big step coming from college. But listen, you know, we're in a pandemic.
For the first two, 3 weeks of the season are going to be awful. It's going to be bad football.
No, but Ira, you just reinforce what I'm saying. Like, you're putting them at an unfair advantage. And then you expect them to go out there and be able to take care of themselves. You expect, you know, Becton, how are we supposed to know if he can protect Sam Darnold's blind side when we ain't seen him do it? When we ain't been able to coach him up on being able to get beat or why he got beat or he turned his shoulders or not understanding the different types of pass rushers that he's going to go against. He's going to get a book and have a book on all the players on his team. And to be honest, he's not going to get tested by any of the pass rushers from the Jets anyway because they ain't got none. So then you put him out there week one, he's going against one of the best pass rushers in the game. He don't get Sam Darnold killed.
No, I get it, but just one preseason bigger game concern is not going to cut it. You know?
I'm saying four. We're starting at one. One is better than none. What I'm saying is you're going to put these guys out there, and then listen, the quality of the product in week one and two has been bad, you know, every year anyway. Now you're not going to give them any preseason games. You're not going to allow players to get coached up, be yelled at, be corrected, be benched, fight for their spot back, and then say, okay, come on, let's play the season.
Or take a look at somebody that might be a late round or a you know, like somebody you just picked up that you need to see and get a good feel. Like, can this guy play? Put him in live action. Let's see what he can do. There's a lot of that's going on. Again, the established teams probably don't care. But there's too many teams in this league, I feel like, that need it. And it's also going to hurt the product, in my opinion. Ira, thanks for the call. I really do feel like the product in the first month of the season
playbook going to be slim.
It's already going to look bad because of that. The first couple of games of the season look bad anyway.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And check this out, Alan. The defense always has an advantage, period, because they can move faster and because it's not about, you know, elaborate playbook. They can put a bunch of blitzes in. And if you haven't seen those blitzes, don't know how to, you know, where to slide the protection. The running back hasn't had any, you know, seen any exotic blitzes and things of that sort. Right. You're going to put your franchise quarterback out there.
Oh, please.
And say, okay, figure out this overload blitz that's coming with the corner safety linebacker.
Becton's now like he's just learning on the fly, and he makes a mistake, and now Sam's out for 3 weeks. But God forbid.
But just not Becton. How many teams are depending on new left tackles? Remember, the run on left tackles were in Cleveland. It was with the Giants. It was with the Jets. It was with Tampa. right? Like, what are we talking about? We talk about this class this year was stacked with for what we call franchise quarterback. I mean, franchise offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Whether it was interior or tackle. And right. Now we're going to say, okay, go block Shaq Barrett. Go block Aaron Donald. And you, don't worry, you haven't had any reps. But you should be okay because you went against Stephen McClendon all practice. So you should be good.
Hey, figure it out. Right? Like, I mean, come on. Yeah. By the way, can you pop one open for me and pass it over here? Dempsey's in the Bronx. Dempsey, I'm thirsty. What's up, Dempsey?
Hey, Han, really, really quick, I just wanted to say from the bottom of the heart, I just got out of the military last year, and my 4 years, I listened to you every morning when you were back with Canty and Humpty, and I've talked to them, and I've thanked them. I just want to thank you because you really made my 2 years when I was living out on a boat much more enjoyable.
Oh, I appreciate your service, too, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Really, really quick. I completely agree with the necessary preseason games. Like, we wouldn't have Victor Cruz and probably not a Super Bowl if we didn't have Victor Cruz as a Giant.
Fair point.
He became a Giant because of preseason. And if you look at the Giants team, outside of Blake Martinez and James Bradbury, pretty much every defensive back and every linebacker position is up for grabs.
Right.
And you need a preseason for all those sixth-round, fifth-round, and I think they got, like three seventh-round linebackers?
Yeah,
pretty much all of those are wasted if we don't have a preseason.
Because they lie to you, right?
Thank you,
because a player can lie to you. Players are liars.
Mm-hmm.
They can have one good game, and they're lying to you. You think, man, we all set. And then you get in the game, like, man, this man is horrible. He just had a couple good plays, but now that people know what he can do and what he can't do, this dude is horrible. And you uncut some dude that probably could play, and he's sitting somewhere else, and you can't even get him in. Because that's the thing, right? And you ain't going to be able to call for help. You're going to be stuck with what you're stuck with. Because now you got to come in, somebody get hurt, somebody can't play, you got to bring somebody in, and you got to quarantine them for 14 days. So it ain't going to be no instant help.
Garbage.
What you got is what you got.
That's and I'm telling you, that first month's gonna be terrible. Isaiah, New Jersey, Isaiah.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up?
What up?
How you doing, man? I just wanted to get a point that like all these players are like they're like coddled, man. That's what I feel like. It's like
they're soft, man.
They're too worried about resting and stuff. So making a better deal to get more money. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Of course,
I do.
It's what we said,
Isaiah. If I gave you a job, Isaiah, right? And yeah. the job took some effort. Like you had to work hard, like physical labor. But I paid you a lot of money, and I gave you the option that you could really work your ass off, or just like you can work half as hard, but you're still going to get paid the same amount of money, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
See, that's why it's such a separation between the great players, the ones that are rating out at 90 on Madden, and the ones that's rating in the 70s. You want to know why? Because it takes a personal accountability. Everybody doesn't have the great
Thanks
gene.
Thanks for the call.
Everybody don't have the great gene. Where they strive for greatness. Some guys, guess what? Play football just because that's the easiest way for them to make money. And they really don't love it. They don't love it. So, like, you asking somebody they don't love it, you telling them to stay extra, you telling them to stay and run extra gassers, you asking them to say, okay, well, let me be responsible and make sure my ART, my chiropractor are there, let me make sure I'm eating right. Come on, man. They like, man, I'm getting this check on Tuesday regardless. I'm good. What's the motivation?
You got to have checks and balances for both sides. You can't let coaches do what they were doing, which is just completely
dominate. Yeah, they
were
going waka flocka.
And it was too much what they were doing.
They would keep you
there
all day, and you heard teams.
And
you
burn out.
You look at Seattle.
Yes.
You look at some of these places they were getting reported on. And they were losing draft picks, and they were losing.
Parcells was bad at that.
Right,
and Parcells, the guy.
They were terrible at that stuff.
Right?
And David Wanstead too. Worked them like the Junction Boys. The Miami Dolphins of the Dave Wanstead Miami Dolphins always came out month September and October balling. Man, when November, October came, they had nothing left.
Ran out of gas
because they were mid-season form in the opening of the season.
So we understand that there has to be some middle ground, but it's gone completely to the other side. And I'm just saying the repeat is this. The league has offered to the players the option of not playing any preseason games at all as part of this restart plan. And I think if I'm for the Jets and the Giants, think about it from the Giants' standpoint. All right, think about it. Mike says this on Twitter, Hammer Press. He said, no-brainer, Danny Dimes needs to work with his new coaches. You also have to think about that. At least Sam has a grasp of the offense that Adam Gase wants him to run.
Finally.
I mean, Daniel Jones is just getting to know his new head coach and new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Zoom meetings and he's watching video. They got to get on the field and actually do stuff in live action, yeah. And you can't do it in 7-on-7.
Let me tell you how, do it like that.
You got to have it where you're afraid of getting hit. You have to play that way.
Well, I mean, we've been stuck in this quarantine, right? And we all been kind of watching old sports, right? Well, I want to take you back to the Bruce Lee. I am B. Water, my friend, right? You know, guys are taking the path of least resistance. And it's almost like when he saw Bono Yin and he hit the board and he looked at Bono and said, yo, boards don't hit back. We got guys out there playing and they hitting these robotic dummies. Like, man, that dummy ain't no dog. That dummy ain't no beast. That dummy ain't going to hit you with no stiff arm. And then when you get in the game and they miss tackles, like we see football, I've never seen more missed tackles
in the last couple of years.
And it's because can't nobody, you tackling something that ain't got legs. It's on four wheels, bro. Like, well, of course it's going to go down. You real tough hitting this thing. Then when Derrick Henry come through that hole, it's night-night.
But there'll be nobody there to boo when the first month of the season is garbage. That's for sure. All right,
we're going to have to email and call in our booze. We need to get a package where we're able to email players, and as soon as they hit the link, it'll stop.
Oh my God. Bart, are you ready? Because we didn't get to do it yesterday. I did a gas face instead since you weren't here. But we have right now for you Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, let's go. So as we saw yesterday in the joint statement from the Giants and the Jets, and of course, Governor Phil Murphy did announce this as well, there'll be no fans at MetLife Stadium this coming season, for the foreseeable future anyway. They could revisit it. But the Raiders, by the way, they have a new stadium set to open. It looks pretty sweet, actually. And they won't have fans in the stadium there when they do open. But Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, as they move to Vegas, he actually said he isn't even sure it's safe to play football in 2020. He said that canceling the season is becoming a realistic option. And he told ESPN back on Sunday night, quote, I don't know if it's even safe to play. Uncertainty is the word. Blitz or Prevent, for an NFL owner to say this is alarming.
I mean, listen, I'm glad that Mark Davis can think on his own. Independently a group, and just because he believes that doesn't mean that he's not going to put his team out there because he's going with the majority. But it should be a real concern for a lot of owners that what happens if the worst case scenario happens? What happens when you talk about football, which is the hardest sport to socially distance? You think about what happens when the flu season comes, mistakenly, test and not being able to have the test all the time. We don't know what the end looks like. We don't know if we can make it to the end, but I understand that it's worth it to try. And that's what we're doing. We're trying. We're trying to make the best out of a great situation. You know, we don't have a bubble like the NHL or the NBA. It's just too many people. It's too many moving components, to do that. But, I mean, it's a realistic thought. You know, we can't say for sure 100% certainty that we're going to start the season and finish the season of football. And you just hope that, that's why I believe that the NFL hasn't pushed it back and they want to go with the season as scheduled, because what they don't want is for them to need time and not have the time. So if you push it back to October, then you run out of time to be able to move it back. If you start on time, then if you have an outbreak, you may be able to take a week or two off to let people quarantine and figure things out and then be able to restart. So, I mean, Mark Davis, I appreciate him, speaking what a lot of owners are thinking.
All right, so more on football here. Chris Jones just got paid. Kansas City Chiefs. He channeled his inner LeBron James while he was on a radio station in Kansas City. He went on to say that he thinks this is just the beginning for the Chiefs. In fact, he said, be prepared to have another parade and another parade and another parade. Now, does it sound familiar? Not two, yep. Not three, not four. Not five. Blitz or Prevent. The Chiefs actually have a chance to be a bigger dynasty than LeBron's Heat.
I'm going to go ahead and blitz that. Kick rocks. Football is the ultimate equalizer. I mean, you can have the best player in the game, right? You can say that they had that when you had Aaron Rodgers. How many championships did that translate to, right? I mean, it's been a lot of guys that have stepped on top. That's what makes the Patriots and what the Patriots did so amazing, the fact that they were able to have these little mini runs within in a sport where you become the hunted, to you know, the hunter to becoming the hunted. Now you're going to see all that energy that's going to come when people are trying to make a name off you, Chris Jones.
And injuries.
When people are getting up, yes.
Also,
you better wrap it up.
Change everything. All right, quickly, one last topic here, and I know you're going to have a topic, you're going to have a response to this. The NBA and the Jordan brand announced today all 30 NBA Statement Edition uniforms will now feature the Jumpman logo starting next season. A Statement Edition uniform is one of the alternate jerseys that you wear for big games and rivalries and everything like that, and the different color schemes, whatnot. So you have the logo on the shoulder of the jersey and the leg of the shorts as well. Blitz or prevent? Seeing that logo on a Pistons jersey will want to make you throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, I think we should decorate the logo. We should deface the logo. We should put somebody.
Should you foul it? Foul the logo.
We should add a patch right next to it of somebody getting ready to undercut Michael Jordan as the Jordan rules. We should do that one, or we should grab a
Lambeer and John Sally on the either side of it.
Rick Mahorn clothesline him out the air. One. We don't want none of that smoke. I mean, but congratulations to Michael Jordan. He's continuing to grow his.
Oh, we
brand.
All love the Jordan
and
brand.
We understand it's the cut. Color rush, but I think if I see that on the Pistons, I think I might throw up.
Think if you're a Knicks fan or a Jazz fan.
Let's highlight Michael Jordan and bring. No.
They still love the Jordan brand, but that for certain teams, that's going to be a weird look. As the NBA gets ready to begin scrimmages tomorrow, which, like we were doing with baseball this weekend, we will tune in because we just love to see live sports, and they'll begin their scrimmaging tomorrow. Life in the bubble has been interesting. We've seen it from the eyes of the players, and we're also seeing it from the eyes of those reporters who have been invited into the bubble and had to go through the process. And one of them is our own Mark Spears from ESPN, who's a senior writer with The Undefeated and has a long and very well-established career in covering this sport and many others as well, and a good friend of mine. Mark, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. I know it's busy times right now in Orlando, but let me ask you at the very beginning, what was your experience, I guess, like going through the quarantine process and then being cleared, having to probably stay isolated for a while? Just what was that part like as you got to Orlando and went through it?
Well, first of all, Masai just told me to get off the phone call with you. he just was trying to call me back from a phone call last night, and I'm like, nah, Han has me on a radio show, so I can't get off right now. And he's like, get off, and I'm like, nope. Yeah. I made a commitment to Han first.
And I'm sure. And
so know that I'm putting Masai on hold to talk to you, brother.
And now it's going to cost the Knicks another first-round pick, I guess. That's how he charges us.
he didn't get that gig either, so maybe there's a grudge or something, right? But no, it's every day is a new interesting day. Like today I figured out how to get my packages, you know, and we did quarantine for a week. It's strange because you basically get to the hotel, they shove you into your room. I didn't know what the property looked like. We got zero tour, and you're getting food from like 8 and noon and like 6 o'clock, and they're just like leaving this food outside your door, and they give you a whole bunch of drinks. And it wasn't until like 2 days in that Lisa Salter said, you know, for dinner at least you could get room service, so I figured that out. And so I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to get bored. But I feel really blessed to be here. This is history. This is a unique environment. I wish the Knicks were here so you would be here. But it's just like almost like a weird dream. Like I just bumped into Kyle Korver. You know what I mean? I saw Lakers assistant Phil Handy riding a bicycle yesterday. Like it's just all kind of weird stuff all the time. Although we don't really have access to the players other than practice itself. And games when they come. Scrimmages start tomorrow. But every day, man, it's just unique, odd experience. But at the same time, I feel like we're in the healthiest place in America.
It's like the surreal version of the summer league, right? I miss the summer league because of that. You spend 10 days and
go on top
you run
of that,
into everybody.
It's like summer league, but varsity showed up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not JV.
Yes, you're right.
Varsity's here.
Yeah.
But we can't go nowhere. Like, we're not going to the club at Caesars. You know what I'm saying? about having dinner at Tao before I...
Oh, yeah. It was such a tough life.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm pulling my food out of a refrigerator and just grabbing what's for dinner tonight, Mom? You know what I mean? I have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, so how have you looked at this from a historical standpoint, the fact that you've been given the responsibility of the storytelling of what this moment is like and being able to put it in a capsule? Because we're going to have to revisit this in history, and it's going to be a 30 for 30. There's going to be things written about this moment in time. Have you really thought about the gravity of your responsibility that you've been given?
Yeah, I mean, especially working for the Undefeated, you know, where we write about race and culture, so... Maybe my Twitter followers are getting a little weary from me, but anytime I see something or hear something that a player says that has a social injustice impact to it, I'm tweeting it. Like, I'm in here, I'm hearing it,
right.
I'm seeing it. They revealed that Black Lives Matter is on the court today. That's beautiful. That's significant. You know, the players are not only meeting amongst their team in terms of figuring out their social message, but also meeting with other teams. And so it seems like there's certainly something that, you know, they're taking serious. I've heard Breonna Taylor's name like every day from the players. They're saying her name loud, hoping for justice for her family. And, you know, seeing the Raptors come here with a Black Lives Matter bus and Cal Corver having Black Lives Matter, a white guy having it on the back of his jersey, like, it's pretty deep. It's pretty amazing, and like, I hope we never have this experience again, but there's going to be a day when the world is better, and I'm going to be, you know, at a bar at Soho House in Brooklyn when I get out, and they're going to be like, yo, you were in the bubble, huh? Like, yeah.
One of the world's best pickup line. Are you kidding me? but you know, it is though. It is obviously it's something that I would encourage. If I was there with you, that's one of the things I know I'd be doing is keeping a journal and every detail I can remember so I'd never forget it because it's going to be a story to tell for many years. And it is a bit of a coming together on many levels that's going to be, I think, historic. And you mentioned it, and I want you to expand a little more on it because, you know, you said it quickly, and I want to make sure the listeners heard. They did let the media come in and see the court where the players will be playing and what we're going to watch on television. But there is messaging and signage, and especially on the court, very prominent Black Lives Matter right there on the floor. It's going to be in view throughout every single game. You can't miss it.
Instead
How significant is it to
Madison
see that?
Madison Square Garden
right.
is going to say Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like, that's like every time you see somebody run down the court, it's inevitable that you see it. You'll see messages on their jerseys, their shoes, maybe their headbands after a game. There probably will be some players that I just want to talk about Breonna Taylor. I don't want to talk about the game. You know, I could see Tobias Harris having that kind of message. It's going to be that first day, that first weekend of basketball, not only from a basketball standpoint, because just being in the gym yesterday, guys, I was in the gym.
Yeah.
They were hooping. You know how much fun that was to see dudes hooping yesterday?
Yeah. Missed that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But then to know that there's this other aspect, a more meaningful, more life, world-changing side to it, too. This is – I've covered a lot of unique things in my career, including Olympics, and not covering a Nuggets game in Dallas because the space shuttle blew up in Texas, and I had to cover that. Mm-hmm. Being there when McGuire broke a home run record, I've been to an event with Muhammad Ali. Now this is at the top for sure.
Now, how many more opportunities is it going to be? Because I was on the side of you should play basketball because I think you can use that platform. So how much more access are players given, you know, people like you so that you can have these features? I feel like halftime is an opportunity to do a sit-down feature to talk about, aspect of the movement. I feel like it's also a time because sports and athletes have always been on the front line of justice. And I feel like the NBA kind of started this when, Carmelo and LeBron, they sit on the stage on the ESPYs and they were talking about Trayvon Martin and, how important it is. And I feel like it's coming back full circle and they have an opportunity when they're going to have the eyes to have a subliminal message without throwing it, so much into the face of those who oppose it. If you love basketball and you love sports, you're going to see Black Lives Matter and it's going to be subliminally in the minds of people who may not even agree with it, but it's going to start a conversation within the homes, maybe of that kid, so you can affect the next generation to understand what that means and why it's so important and for them to ask and witness what they're seeing today.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because I'm like the popular reporter here now. because the guys know what I typically want to talk about. And so, yeah, we got time for more. We got time. I mean, I think they loved Undefeated and the message that we're bringing. And, everybody isn't going to be happy about it. But I think with all these messages that the players are having, man, I like really am big on, even if it just affects one person, that's a big deal. There's going to be some kid that's going to be in an environment that's not an open-minded environment. That could be in a racist environment. That could be an environment where they don't see any black people. Like I talked to Sam Presti, the Thunder GM, the other day. Said he didn't meet anybody black until the fifth grade. So a lot of times people are a product of their environment. But when they see Mike Conley wearing I Am A Man, maybe a kid will Google that. Well, why does he wear I Am A Man? Oh, it's the sanitation worker strike in Memphis in 68. Let me learn more about that, maybe after learning what, this player is doing or that player is doing, even if I have a cold home, maybe this can change me to have a warm heart that's different. The world is going to be watching, and I think the players understand that, and they're going to, even though they're going to be competing, they're going to band together to get their message out. And I think it's hard to grasp from the outside, but I'm watching the gumbo being made. I'm seeing the ingredients starting to go in the pot and the pot starting to stew. And then when it gets served, that first, Wednesday next week through the weekend, I think it's going to be beautiful. It's going to taste great.
I always
use to everybody.
It's an acquired taste, and that's what you're hoping it eventually becomes. And it's a phrase I always use from the show Hamilton is when I say history has its eyes on you, right? And that's the important thing of how we came together and how you make, everybody now is a curator of this from here, and that's where it goes. And just to let everybody know too, the story you're referencing about Sam Presti, you can find on ESPN, and it's a terrific story about how really for Presti, how it was. The experience of sports basically opened that door, and a lot of us can relate to that. Many of us can on that side of it. Now, I know Masai's waiting for you, so I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to go, and I appreciate you, by the way. I feel for the first time, I have an advantage now over Masai Ujiri, for the first time. But I do want to ask you, though, about the coronavirus and the whole idea of the bubble, and that you have 346 players tested, and none of them test positive. So the concept of the bubble is that once you're in the bubble, there should be no virus, so therefore there should be no positive tests. And there's been so much talk about the snitch line and telling on people and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, though, Mark, now that you know it's zero, so this house is clear, that's good, but you don't want to be the guy that pops that bubble. So maybe you don't want to snitch on people, but are everybody watching each other and just sort of saying, like, make sure you do the right thing, because this house of cards can come down quickly, and all it takes is one guy to make a mistake.
Well, I think if it comes down, it comes from the outside. And the one thing I've been seeing about these workers here is like somebody like basically, I feel like someone has screamed on them before they started working. Like they pay attention to distance. If I get delivery to my room, they put a cart, like food delivery, a cart in front of the door and or a little stool, and they put the food on top of it and they go 12 feet away.
Okay.
I open the door and they're like a football field away. You get your food? Yep. All right. Cool. You know, close the door. I'll get the thing.
Right.
Like they are being real, real conscientious. That everywhere we go, there's Clorox wipes. I can't find no Clorox wipes at home.
You can't buy them anywhere.
Yeah, so they gave me like 20 masks. There's Clorox wipes. There's people yelling at you. Like, everybody has to wear a mask. It's not any... they don't care about your rights or whatever. Here, you need to wear a mask, and you're wearing a mask. So, yes, I do think it's extremely the safest environment that you could possibly be in, unless you just staying in your sterile house and having your food delivered every day. I mean, there's little things you could fix here and there, but the fact that we're getting tested daily and I'm getting the results the next day, like I'm getting friends in Oakland being tested and they find out 18 days later. I'm getting my results every day. So even if something were to come up, there's a hospital on the premises. They have a means to like quarantine it, to stop it. That, you know, knock on wood, that I hope resumes through the whole time. Like, I don't want to leave until there's a cure, like, you know, pretty here the next year. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, it's even if there is a little blow up somewhere somehow, which, it's possible, I challenge you to find any other place that, you know, is sanitized as this spot.
Well, that's good news, because that means that hopefully then we'll see this thing through all the way to an end, and then we can get back to fighting over which team's going to win and why and who should get MVP and all that fun stuff, because like you said, it's basketball. You get in the gym and we get back to feeling a little more normal. So I'm glad you're getting that experience, Mark. And again, thanks so much for a few minutes here. Greatly appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
All right. Mark Spears, again, senior NBA writer for ESPN on The Undefeated, and does tremendous work, great connections, and the stories. And obviously, as he told you, like his angles, his takes generally have social issues connected to it. And a lot of it, obviously, these days, some fascinating work for him. And for him to be there in the bubble, Bart, I'm telling you, I've known Mark as long as I've known him. He's like me. You know, I just want to be in the gym. I want to be around the game. I just want to talk to people. Like but the way he described the bubble, like when you heard the way he talked about it and his experience and what he's seeing, do you feel a little more confident about it?
I feel a lot more confidence even just by looking at, you know, what the test results were and understanding that everybody feels it, not, you know, the reporters as well. They're being socially responsible. They understand how important it is, and nobody wants to be that component that breaks the test, because right now we're saying, hey, everybody's good. And if we don't stay good, it's because somebody didn't do the right thing. And you don't want to be the one pointed out once they contact trace and check the cameras and all that stuff and say, okay, you're the one that did this. And you won't be welcome back in the bubble. And then now people are going to say, you know what? That dude's selfish. And it can damage brands. You know
what happened to Rudy Gobert?
Yeah. His brand was damaged, and he tried to repair it by saying, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I didn't take it serious. And then some people can understand it, right? Because this is before it was a mass pandemic in our country. But now, anybody that does it now, you knew what the ramifications potentially could be, and you didn't care, so you're not going to get that second chance. You canceled. You talk about cancel culture, somebody can get canceled.
Again, you know, sorry doesn't repair the league. Yep. Sorry doesn't make up for $1 billion in revenue. But that court, if you look at it, and the fact that it has Black Lives Matter written in bold letters across the court. And there's also matrix boards all around the arena, I should say, around like the court, lower level, where there's going to all kinds of signage and all kinds of stuff is going to be up there. So it's a real interesting look what they've done for the basketball. It's going to be very interesting to watch. NBA TV is going to have all the scrimmages. So if you have NBA TV, you can actually see some of the scrimmaging that's going to be going on. But how do you feel? And do you think the NFL should follow what the NBA is doing here by putting some messaging on their field?
I mean, remember, this thing started, this outrage about Black Lives Matter started with the NFL. Now, I began a little bit with the consciousness with, you know, the Banana Boat crew, where everyone talked Chris Paul and, you know, Melo and Wade and LeBron. But Kaepernick took it to an uncomfortable, different level. And I feel like coming back full circle, I feel like looking at what's about to be displayed, what's about to be displayed on the NBA is going to force the NBA to respond, to say that they're doing enough as well. Because they were the one that denied the player the opportunity because he was standing for this or kneeling for this. So now, you know, once we see, like, what's going to happen. See, the thing is, like, if you're a person that doesn't believe in the movement, then you can boycott the NBA. But then boycott the NBA and the NFL? You got to be, I mean, if you're a real sports fan.
Then you're not a real sports fan. Right, yeah.
Yeah, to be able to do that is tough. And then, I mean, if baseball does something, then what are you going to do? NASCAR is already doing it. You got to go watching cornhole. You know, you ain't got nothing.
I've always felt that anybody that's like, I'm never going to watch another NBA game, well, you probably were never really an NBA fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you love basketball, right, like you don't just stop. Like, yeah, I love the game too much to just, like, let stuff like that get in my way. I'm just looking for a reason is all you're doing there. I want to remind you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And also, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof's in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence for a wear test using SAE 5W30. Bart, I want to bring up, as quickly as we can here, LeBron James recently talking about his MVP, the story of the MVP voting. And now, as you know, the league, and they made it official today, that all regular season awards now will be based only on the season up till March 11th when they stopped. So these eight games are not going to count. Now, we know that LeBron was closing in on Giannis. He was closing in on him. And as we talked about it, you know, he was 10-1 odds on March 5th by Caesars. By March 7th, after beating the Bucks and also beating the Clippers, by March 7th, that went down to 5-1 odds. So Caesar started to see LeBron was on his way, right? And I think a lot of the voters are feeling the same way. And, you know, I mean, we talked about it back then. Remember I said how all of a sudden that LeBron Incorporated is starting to kick in and we're starting to see, right? The media started mobilizing, making the case. So now it seems like Giannis is more than likely going to claim his second straight MVP.
And who else? And who else benefits from this?
Who else benefits from
Ja?
Oh, well, Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year. Yeah, that's true as well. But now LeBron, of course, what I like about LeBron is he's willing to talk about anything.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
Well, there are times, though, when he does talk about it, he opens himself to criticism. Take a listen to this.
I show what I'm capable of doing, you know, not only individually, but from a team's perspective, us being number one in the West. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? You know, I heard all of that. And to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, that's definitely a good feeling.
Who cared? Did the Clippers really care about if they were number one or not? Did they low manage Kawhi? And if this season would have continued, LeBron would have been breaking down and Kawhi would have been healthy for the days of being able to rest. Now, really, I think that this break has really evened the odds and gave you a refreshed LeBron who, if he has to carry the Lakers, will have the energy to do so. So nobody cares about what you were trying to do and try and win the MVP because you were talking about the dead king or whatever. What was the narrative before?
The Wash King.
You're putting all this energy. Yeah, you're putting all this energy into something that the Clippers didn't even care about because Kawhi only cares about what happens when you win the title. That's what he about. He about winning three titles with three different teams and being an MVP on every one of those teams, Shorty. That's what he care about. Then when he does that, then what are you gonna talk about? And Tessa, don't at me, Tessa. Don't come at my Instagram. Don't come at my Twitter. Don't come at my Facebook Live. None of that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
I got to give Carl Rude credit because yesterday he tweeted at me as I was stumbling through trying to explain the idea of if I have to tell you how great I am, right? And he was right. It's any man who says I'm the king is no king. That's the phrase I was trying to find. And that's what you take from this is like he's telling you his credentials. They said I couldn't do it. We were number one in the West. How's Golden State doing this season? Where were they this season with everybody hurt? When Golden State comes back, you know, let's talk. And oh, by the way, let me just throw this caveat out there. I know Anthony Davis changed his agent and now is represented by Rich Paul.
Really?
Part of LeBron's, you know, obviously LeBron Incorporated. But if you're Anthony Davis and you have a big decision, let's say, to me, LeBron's future is completely based on what Anthony Davis decides to do. He's got so much power right now.
Yes.
Because he could think to himself, I'm 27. Do I want to be
stuck here by myself
in this guy's shade for the next couple of years? Yeah. And then when he walks away, what do we got here?
Right. You got to carry everybody. Like, all right, well.
Like, when he walks away, what do we have here?
You don't feel like Scottie Pippen when Jordan.
Because they're
going
to get rid of every young player. They're going to go and try to build what they did in Cleveland and just get as many vets in and try to win something for LeBron. And then when he's deciding it's time for me to retire, well, what do I have left here? If you're Anthony Davis, do you even think a little bit about a guy that you once climbed into the stands to hug after winning the national championship at Kentucky? Do you know who that man was?
Went in the stands to
William Wesley. He won the national championship at Kentucky, and one of the things he did while celebrating was walk into the stands to give William Wesley a hug. Mm. This guy, very close to him for many years. Just saying. You never know. Just saying.
Look at you, glass half full today. Look at you.
Not glass half full. I'm just saying that LeBron's future is tethered to this guy.
Yeah, that's why Kyrie. That's why
he's
Kyrie
got a lot of power.
That's why Kyrie got the hell out of there. Because every year you have to decide what LeBron's going to do, and I'm living in his shadow. And arguably, you can make the statement that you know Anthony Davis has had just as a dominating season as LeBron has had.
Yeah, his numbers are great, but he'll never be the man there when LeBron's there because it's always going to be about LeBron. When the Lakers win, it's because LeBron led them to the win.
I think if they win, Anthony Davis leaves. If they lose, he stays because he knows he has to get a championship on his resume so he can go out and speak as a champion. Mm. Same reason why LeBron went down to Miami because he has to be able to speak as a champion. He knew he couldn't carry Cleveland that way.
It's like I said, keep an eye on that as they have the short off season. I'm sure it's probably 80% he's going to stay in L.A., right? Probably 90%.
Yeah,
that little 10% makes you wonder.
And his dad out there with them nuggets.
Well, that's also important, too.
Dad out there with them nuggets. And if you can get Donovan Mitchell, we got action. Donovan Mitchell, Robinson.
Very curious. That's all. At some point this week, the Knicks are probably going to announce Thibodeau, right? Don't they have to?
They're still looking for a coach?
I mean, if the NBA gets started, it kind of gets lost. So, anyways. What do you think of what I said about Anthony Davis?
I think it's a realistic thing, man. Listen, we know that he didn't commit, and I understand sometimes.
He's got all the power right now over LeBron.
Absolutely. LeBron, like, please, man. You know, let's just talk about how great LeBron is. He was openly trying to ask Kawhi, please, Kawhi, come on over here, man. We can make a big three, man. We can do it. He was like, nah, man. LeBron, you the king. You acting like the Dutch. You chump. I'm going to the other side, and I will defeat you.
Yeah, that had to have been like, you're going where?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm coming to LA. You coming to LA? Yeah, the Clippers.
Who am I? You think I'm about to be Bosh? Like, who would be Bosh in that situation?
I'm about to be Bosh.
Like, man, you lost your mind. I just won an MVP, man. I just made the Toronto Raptors, which is equivalent to you bringing the Cleveland Cavaliers to a championship. I'm trying to pass you, bro. How can I pass you if I'm with you? Nah, right. Man. Go ahead, LeBrick.
Right, I want a title in another country.
Yeah, exactly, bro. First ever. Like, they got to put a trophy. They got to put a trophy of Kawhi up there, man. First ever. Like, they'll never win another championship in Toronto again.
Uh-oh. Okay, you're now predicting that. All right, we save that one. Let's just make sure we save that one.
Yeah,
who's going to be the Bosh in Brooklyn? Because you know they're looking for a third guy.
It's going to be
they're looking for a third guy. Who's the Bosh? Who's it going to be?
It ain't Bradley Beal.
You think it's going to be another guard who wants the ball?
Well, you know it ain't going to be KD. KD better get his buckets or he's going to go straight to
Twitter.
That's what
I mean. You got two guys that want to put up 20 shots a game.
So Kyrie don't really care. Guy. Kyrie just want to dribble and dish. Let me cross you over. Three crossovers.
I think it's got to be like a four, like a guy who's like a four or five type. Don't you
LeVert?
Think?
Yeah.
Or maybe more of a three, just a spot up three guy, like a 3-point shooter, like somebody that is just money from downtown and can D up star level. I don't know.
Yeah, who is that? You find me that player,
Clay Thompson.
That's he ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going anywhere.
They about that action.
What LeBron just said? I'm number one in the West. They said I couldn't do it. And meanwhile, Steph and Clay are like, excuse me?
We just took a year off.
We just took a gap year.
Yeah. We about to get this third stone. We're going to get this last Thanos stone because now we're going to be all back. And then we're going to get somebody that's going to be a young version of Draymond Green that can score. And we're going to be deep as could be, baby.
See, I love it though. That's why. See, you get mad at LeBron for talking. I think it's great because he creates conversations because he talks. If he was the guy that said nothing, we'd have nothing to talk about. So that's why. That's why I appreciate
because,
him
because you know Kawhi won't say anything. But if the Clippers put out the Lakers and win the championship, Beverly's gonna have all the smoke.
Oh my god!
He's gonna be the horse whispering puppet.
Don't you think Kawhi Beverly will go to Laker games in the bubble
They gotta win. They gotta win first. Then he would the next year when the great thing is when the season's over, we're gonna be crowning him for the opening of the season like 2 months later.
Oh my god! And
Patrick Beverly is gonna show up on his off days in the front row to Lakers games with his ring.
There's a report, by the way, that just if you're a Knicks fan, get excited. You don't have to wait as long for the draft lottery. Instead of it being on the 25th of August, it's now on the 20th of August.
Ooh.
Yeah. So get ready for your LaMelo ball. Anyways.
Hey, I didn't know he's 6'8 now, bro. This dude's 6'8 now.
I'm so fascinated by his
6'8 now? He's 6'8 now, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's either going to be LaMelo ball.
That's like Penny Hardaway, bro. Like, that's a tall point guard dishing.
Yeah.
Now, he can improve his shooting, but, a lot of people need to do that.
He'll get better. I mean, it's his ball. His handle is off the charts, and his court vision is ridiculous. Like, he's
6'8".
He can't defend, but, that's today's NBA.
He don't got to, man.
All right, ready for audio files?
Let's do it.
The audio file.
All right, speaking of LeBron, Brian Windhorst on Golic and Wingo lets us know that while you have these seeding games going on, right? Remember LeBron told you, we're top seed, we're number one, we're the best in the West. So they don't really have to worry too much about where they are, right? Like, they just want to get into the playoffs. So with that in mind, how much do you think LeBron's going to play in these eight games?
LeBron has long talked about wanting to play. He's sort of done a shift as people have pulled back and taken games off. LeBron has played more. But I think one of the reasons he's felt the need to do that is because he feels like when he comes to, a city one night in a year that a fan may have bought tickets and driven 3 hours, he doesn't want to let that fan down. He has talked about that a lot. Well, there's no fans here.
He's
so,
a liar.
And again, the television viewers will get to see him plenty. So I would expect that he would not play all eight games.
All right, so he saw the Last Dance documentary. He's going to pull the same quote.
No, he's been doing that. It's the Joe DiMaggio thing.
Don't give me that little brick. Don't give me that.
Well, there's nobody. He doesn't have to worry about letting anybody down who bought a ticket to watch him play, and there's no MVP for him to chase.
LeBron needs to play.
So stay preserved and be ready when the playoffs officially begin.
LeBron needs to play.
So who are they going to play anyway? Who's the eighth seed right now?
But LeBron, Memphis? LeBron's about rhythm. LeBron's been off. He has more than enough rest. Remember, his body told him it was time to shut down.
Yeah.
So now he needs to get himself back activated. He's not young. So he needs to get his timing back. He needs to get his rhythm back. Mm-hmm. Right. He needs to get some shots up. He needs to get some, what I'm doing in transition. He needs to get that coordination back. He needs to play. Now, if you're one of these younger guys, you may not need to play. But LeBron is a machine. He's a creature of habit. And habit says close to playoff time, you rest a little bit, but you've already had that rest. So now you got to get that next level conditioning because we've seen LeBrick cramp up. And if you haven't done something full time in a long time, you could start cramping up. Dehydration, overexertion.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is also where Anthony Davis then looks and goes, so I got to play in these games. I got to carry the team now. And if we fall out of the number one spot, is it now my fault?
Rondo will be the leading scorer.
Rondo's not even playing. All right, nice. Next up. That's right. Next up, more on the NBA bubble. You heard from Mark Spears, and he gave you an idea.
No Avery, no Rondo. Hold up. You just going to skip over that?
Yeah, no. We knew this. Yeah.
I didn't know
Rondo,
this.
Rondo broke his hand or something.
Oh, that's
like
right.
That.
That's right. How the hell you break it? You know how big.
I broke something. I don't know what it broke.
Outside of Kawhi.
Remember he called it Motel 6?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're staying at one of the nicest resorts in Disney World.
Is that the Grand Floridian?
Oh, where are they? No, they're at the...
Okay.
The Destino, right? The Coronado one, the nice one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's amazing because Rondo got hands outside of Kawhi, the biggest hands in basketball.
Yeah.
It must have been a sledgehammer that broke them.
Anyways. So we're hearing players talk about the bubble and their experience in the bubble, and there's been a lot of complaining and some making fun and all the other stuff, like we just mentioned Rondo. Steven Adams, however, had a much different take, and it's one we can all appreciate.
It's not Syria, mate. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult, mate. We're living in a bloody resort. Everyone's got to complain. Everyone has their own preferences, mate, but it's not anything too serious. It's just a bit of dry food here and there and get bored every now and then. But it's actually pretty cool because you actually get to interact with a couple of the other players on the other teams, you know?
I mean, it's not Syria,
but also yeah, it's perspective.
The interaction, everything else. I mean, he had the right attitude. Didn't he have the right attitude, though? That's absolutely the right attitude.
And gravy, aju, Worcestershire sauce can rehydrate anything that's dry. Don't even worry about it, bro. You can rehydrate it.
But the complaining is just to me.
They're complaining because they're trying to get attention.
Like, what'd you think it was going to be?
I'm telling you.
You think you're going to have your own chef, sitting there making dinner for you? You want your presentation? You want the little parsley on the plate?
Everybody's under pressure to say something to get clicks. Remember, this world is you get millions of dollars for being able to get millions of followers to be able to tweet and talk about something. This is the best time to be able to give fans an inside look. So you only get it's like Page Six. People like negative stuff, so they've given them negative stuff. They don't really mean it, man. Like you said, it's the greatest time of your life, man. You feel safer there than anywhere else.
That's what Spears said. Speaking of being that positive influence. So you were on the K-Show yesterday, right, with Don LaGreca. And you got to play Last One Standing, which I've participated in, failed miserably at times, maybe might have tanked once or twice. You were on the show, and you did something that was unprecedented in the history of sports talk radio trivia competition. Listen to this.
I can't think give of him his to name.
You want to phone me? You want to phone me? I help you. We teammates. I help you.
No, you're actually the complete opposite of teammates.
Yeah, Larry Brown. Larry Brown. I got it. So go with the other two.
You gave Don the answer, and you were competing with him.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to push myself. You know what I mean? I felt like I still had a lot more in the game. I tanked out on Matt Slauson, but, it's all good. I mean, I don't think a lot of people remember Matt Slauson. So,
no, I remember Matt Slauson.
Yeah, but you didn't know that he replaced Alan Faneca in 2010. I thought he came later.
Yeah, and Faneca, by the way, I mean, what a huge part of that offensive line. Like those 2 years.
He gave him credibility, experience.
Oh, my God. Well, you had the two young guys, and then you had him. It was such a – Woody. I mean, what a good offensive line that was.
Brandon Moore was like the little engine that could.
With Sean Green, with Thomas – it didn't matter who was running behind them. I mean, that line was ridiculous.
No, remember.
That's why you feel bad for Slauson, because it's like he comes in and, the line wasn't the same. And it's sort of like, well, let's see. Who's the new guy?
But the craziest thing is, just imagine if those teams would have stayed healthy. Because we always talk about Sean Green. Mm-hmm. We always talk about Thomas Jones. We never talk about Leon Washington and him having that compound fracture.
Oh, man, yes.
Like that was the X factor. That was our Deion Lewis. That was our do-everything guy.
Yeah.
And to lose Chris Jenkins. We would have just stayed healthy. We would have had a whole nother level and layer for Sanchez to be able to shine and grind.
Well, that's audio files. Yeah, somehow it led into a whole talk about the Jets and past history. And
the New York Jets. No. Jets.
Oh man, that dude has a master's. That's the discouragement. That dude's the only dude that got a master's in the NBA NFL. And he couldn't spell Jets.
These things happen.
They only happen to Jets.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.